Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome, everybody, in to another episode of the NFL Mocks Podcast. This is not a re-record, believe it or not. The draft isn't over. I didn't mess up, and we're not re-recording this, promise.
Definitely not.
So, but actually, the draft is over. So we wanted to put this out because I thought it was just some good insight from both of us as to our favorites, our five favorite picks from round two and our five favorite picks from round three. So we're going to roll through those quick, and we'll get you out of here. Like I said, I think we're going to have divisional recaps where we grade the drafts coming soon. So that should be fun. Maybe have a little undrafted free agent podcast. Maybe that'll go about 15, 20 minutes. But, yeah, I mean, we're going to have a lot of fun here real quick. We're going to run through, our favorites, and off we'll go. Nate, do you want to start us off?
Oh, sorry, I spaced out.
So you want to start with round two, or should I begin? It's up to you.
I don't even remember my picks. You might have to feed me my own picks.
All right, that we just Nate, went over. I will message you your picks somewhere.
Just send it to me in a text.
Text your picks. Okay, so I'm going to start
with this. Completely have forgotten them in the last four minutes since we talked about it.
Nate forgot them. That's okay. He didn't write him down because really he shouldn't have needed to because, you know, I didn't have to mess up. So
it's an hour later here too.
So I'm going to start off Michael Pittman Jr., the Colts. I was super giddy about this pick for a lot of reasons. I mean, covering the Colts, of course, you're going to get giddy about a guy that, you know, you've been projecting to go there for some time. But, yeah, I think Pittman, again, you're going to get a pretty decent separator quickly. Good athlete, which is something that Ballard likes. He likes team captains. He likes guys at the Senior Bowl. So everything fit perfectly. And Pittman, while he can, you know, make those quick separation moves, in-breakers, out-breakers, and stuff like that, you still get a guy who wins in contested spots, great pair of mitts, and adjusts to the football well downfield. And that's something that Indy wanted to get bigger at receiver and did so. For Phillip Rivers, who they brought in. So, again, I thought that was a home run selection for the Colts at 34. And, yeah, it leads off the list for me.
We'll start Van Jefferson, who was kind of just my guy. I saved him for last. The last time we did this, I know for sure. But we're just going to jump right into it with him because I really like him. One of the best route runners in the draft. The Rams pick him up, which I think is a weird fit. I don't like him being with the Rams, but as far as it goes, I think he's really underappreciated because that offense at Florida was so bad. They never had a real quarterback throwing to him, similar to DPJ. I think he could be really good. He reminds me a lot of Mike Thomas coming out of college because kind of undervalued. If you'll remember, the Saints got him at a steal. The Rams might have just got Van Jefferson at a steal at 57.
Yeah, I think with Jefferson, you finally get somebody who, you know, Goff can rely on getting the ball out quick when he needs to, because you trust he'll separate, which is an awesome thing. So my next one was a safety. And, of course, Tampa Bay gets all these good players as soon as Tom Brady goes there. Antoine Winfield Jr., really like what he brings to the table as a prospect. You're going to get a guy who could play deep. a single high type of role, deep half, whatever you want to throw him in, and you're going to get a guy who can, you know, play in the box and be a sure tackler. So talking about Winfield, again, good ball skills as well. I know there's some, you know, nagging injuries and that type of concern, but I think well worth the pick in the middle of the second round. So, again, like I said, I think his ability to read what's in front of him with routes and coverages, he sees the field so well that he's going to, you know, thrive early on with Tampa Bay. So I love that one.
Yeah, I like that one. And this is actually going to bring up another guy that I thought would have probably gone a lot earlier. He was valued as high as
I would agree.
Cowboys pick in the first round. And I'm sure there's a reason that he's falling. A lot of that, he has been hurt. There's some Grant Delpit-esque problems with tackling in there as well. But Fulton has been through the gambit in terms of being suspended for a while, coming right back, becoming a leader on probably the best LSU team of all time, one of the best college football teams of all time, in my opinion. And so Christian Fulton went to the Titans all the way down at 61, almost into the third round.
Yeah.
And truthfully, that's value. No matter what problems he has, for somebody that was projected a first rounder by so many people, that's value.
Yeah. Again, I think Brable's going to love a guy like that. You can come in right away, be strong in man coverage. So yeah, that was a good one. My next one in the second round was actually Jalen Johnson to the Bears. I think this sets up really well for what the Bears want to do defensively. Chuck Pagano loves to blitz, and when you blitz, you're getting guys on an island out there. And I would trust Jalen Johnson on an island in man coverage. I think it's another guy that's going to be physical to the line of scrimmage. You're going to get a lot of press man looks for him. And, again, that ability to press is going to throw off timing. And it's going to be a major help to that defense opposite Kyle Fuller in the secondary. So didn't like the Bears' first second-round pick, but I sure as heck love the Jalen Johnson pick to Chicago. And, unfortunately, that's a division rival for me. But, yeah, I thought they did an excellent job there finding a good corner. And I think – I know a lot of Bears fans wanted Fulton there. Totally understandable. But I like Jalen Johnson quite a bit.
Let's go corner to corner here, and actually pick to pick as well. Yes. As Trayvon Diggs came off the board right after that. The Cowboys, what can we say about their draft? Except it was excellent, even down to the UDFAs today. It was excellent.
Yeah.
Picking up Trayvon Diggs, obviously coming from a family that's already produced pretty stubbly player at the next level. Diggs brings a lot to this Cowboys team, and I think he's got a little bit of learning to do, but overall, he has really impressed me throughout this whole process, especially if you run him in a zone kind of coverage. The tackling leaves some to be desired, but with how he plays in press coverage, corner two, corner three, floor for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think converting to corner from wide receiver, I mean, it's got growing pains, and that's going to happen, but like you said, I think another thing he'll bring to the table is just being able to understand how receivers want to win, having played the position. So, and I'm sure he's going to get a lot of work with his brother before camp stuff like that, and probably already has, obviously.
I'm sure. So,
yeah, I like that one a lot. And like you said, Dallas absolutely killed this draft. Nate's going to get to another Dallas pick here shortly when we get to round three. Next on the list for me was A.J. Epenesa. To Buffalo. I mean, he was being mocked there before Buffalo traded that first-round pick for Stephon Diggs. So to get him in the second round, I think, one, he's going to replace Shaq Lawson, and two, this is exactly the type of player that Sean McDermott will maximize, because A.J. Epenesa obviously had the bad testing numbers, and those bad testing numbers for an edge is not a good look, because those type of players just don't succeed very often. However, if anybody is going to get the most out of him, Sean McDermott makes a ton of sense. He really reinvigorated Shaq Lawson's career there and got him a second contract, a pretty decent one in Miami. So, again, you get a guy like that who, again, trims the edge so well. I think he's got a pretty decent inside move. Again, very technical rusher. Are you ever going to put him like wide nine, even seven tech? No. Like, you're going to have him just outside the tackle on five tech, and you can move him in three tech probably on passing downs to really change things up. So again, Epinesa, I really like that fit in Buffalo and good value.
My last two are actually going to be running back to running back, and we don't pay running backs, but we do draft running backs.
Talk about that.
And as far as it goes, this pick was just – it's very fun for me because I'll get to see this guy play in person. I'll get to see him out in the community. Stand-up guy, and that's Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin. The Colts took him at 41, so pretty early on in the second. But as far as it goes, when that – you don't have a first-round pick. You're looking for guys that can make a difference. You've done so well in free agency and through the trade. It helps to bring in a reliable running back. He's got some fumble problems, but you know what problems are there for? They're there to fix. And at the NFL level, that gets done in a hurry. If he cleans up the fumbles, he's got a lot of potential. Very high ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, again, the straight line speed is great. Obviously, a track guy in high school. And again, I think he has perhaps the best vision in the class. So lastly for me, the Carolina Panthers moved up. They were actually, now that we're here at the end of the draft, basically, Carolina was the only team to draft every pick on defense. Crazy to think about. Hmm. But they did do that. And so they moved up to 64 at the end of the second to pick Jeremy Chinn, a guy that I am pretty high on and would label him one of my guys in this class. I think you're getting, again, a very toolsy guy. He was down in Mobile to show of what he's got against the top senior competition. And so, again, when you look at him, you look at the range he brings to the table, you look at the ball skills, explosive athlete. You know, he tested really well the combine. And again, I think you get a guy who's versatile. And Matt Rule talked about that today, as a guy, you know, you can move all over the secondary and feel pretty good about wherever he ends up. So, again, Jeremy Chinn, I think the potential is through the roof. So it's going to be very exciting to see how Rule and company use him in Carolina.
Yeah, no doubt. That's going to be a lot of fun. You would think it might have been the Buccaneers that drafted every pick on defense, but I guess we're keeping it in the NFC South.
They went a lot of offense.
Yeah, they did, wild, which is kind of weird considering their secondary is butt cheeks. But, you know, that's another conversation for another time.
Talk about that very soon, I'm sure.
Yeah. So a future feature back for me is coming off next. He went off at 55 to the Ravens, and that's J.K. Dobbins out of Ohio State. He's constantly winning foot races to the end zone. And before this, I had said if a team needs some life on the ground and they need somebody that can get out there and just work so well in a heavy rushing system in the gaps, that's who they should have gone to. And fit-wise, he went to a pretty fun rushing team, I would say, in the Ravens. And they're going to get the best out of him, I would think. And truthfully, a little bit, well, I think last night or whenever this was that we did this, we said he's kind of like the agility and the finesse to Mark Ingram's power and a kind of a gap in between Lamar and Ingram, and it's going to be a lot of fun when they roll all three of those guys out there together. It'll be very interesting. It's a cheat code. It really is.
I really want to see a pistol full house backfield of Lamar, Dobbins, Ingram, and the guy we're going to talk about in the third round for the Ravens, Nate, that you'll bring up here shortly.
Yeah.
That would be just wild to watch. So yeah, that finishes up round two. And we're going to glide on in to round three, Nate. Would you like to lead off this time?
Yeah, let's just start with Devin Duvernay. You're going to have to send me my other picks.
Yes, that's for sure, for sure.
I think I know a couple of them because it's two Saints picks. Duvernay.
Sure is. Good spoiling.
I think I actually know who the other ones are. Sorry, I had to say it out loud to make it real.
No, it's okay. Oh, it's okay.
We're going to start with the Ravens pick just to go back into it. As far as it goes – Devin Duvernay, you know, he's got that hip tightness that we've been talking about for a long time, but coming off the board at 92, he really started to climb later on in the draft process for a lot of people. I really have liked him. His hands are something you cannot teach. Now, as far as hip tightness goes, we'll see if he can work that out, but at the very least, you're getting a guy that is going to burn people down the field and can catch very well. Track athlete. He is probably one of the weirdest athletes I've ever seen at 5'11", 202. He's built like a bowling ball, but he's super fun. He's going to be really fun in that offense as well.
Yeah, I think, like I said, you put Duvernay back there, may even be able to give him some carries at running back, which is wild. And then so many running backs on that roster now.
Yeah.
In some sense. But again, at the very least, you know, contested spots for a 5'11 player, it's wild how well he can box out defenders. So he's exciting, especially in Baltimore. So start out round three for me. We'll go safety to safety, at least from, you know, my stuff. But Ashton Davis of the Jets, really like what the Jets did on day two. I mean, Mims was a pretty solid pick. I wouldn't call it great. I think, I don't know, I thought the value was okay, but I think the value on Ashton Davis is really good in the third round. Again, we talk about – I put a lot of safeties on here because I love this safety class. I mean, again, great range. He'll come down and stick you from way downfield, and I think his ability to bait the quarterback and, you know, be able to recover with speed and get another track athlete here – and I think you're going to get a guy who you can play on the back end while you have Jamal Adams. If you intend to keep Jamal Adams, that is, you can put him near the line of scrimmage where he can blitz, he can get after the quarterback and be a sure tackler down there, and you can get Davis to make plays on the back end, which is exciting.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. Well, you know what? Let's just go offense to offense here. I'm looking for some kind of trend to keep these guys together, but it's a Saints pick here with Troutman. Adam Troutman, the tight end from Dayton. You know, a lot of people had him as tight end one, and here you go. You get him in round three, and at the tail end of round three, for that matter, at a position that you're not getting any younger at in a team that's in the process where they can pick best player available, especially with the pick that we'll talk about a little bit earlier, or a little bit, we'll talk about it a little later. It came a little bit earlier, but
right.
This one's really fun. He is going to take the top off at the tight end spot, and that's what they really need with Josh Hill. And dude, I did it again. I did this last
Jared
night.
Jared Cook?
Jared Cook. Yeah, I did that last night, too.
You did.
Weird. But
yeah.
So, yeah, for a team that hasn't had a really, truly great receiving threat at tight end since Jimmy Graham, pre-concussions, it's a good look for them. Sean Payton will use him well. It's a good landing spot for him.
Yeah, he's fun. Again, I think, you know, this is all in for New Orleans. Getting three, I thought, really good players on the first 2 days. But, yeah, I think, again, Troutman, you got three tight ends now. You got a few receivers that you can bank on, like Tre'Quan Smith, Emmanuel Sanders, Michael Thomas, obviously. And so it's going to be a fun offense. Who do I want to talk? Oh, Baltimore. We're going to finish out Baltimore because, you know, we had a lot of Baltimore picks to talk about because they absolutely killed this draft. Justin Madubuike, again, he was my 23rd overall player. You get him at 71. I mean, man, that value is outstanding. Again, according to me, not necessarily everybody, but I thought he was very good. I think you're getting a three-tech who can attack gaps. You know, great pass rusher, pretty good athlete overall. And sometimes he'll be able to stack and shed offensive linemen. And I think it's something he can work on with his hand placement and being able to, you know, grip strength and rip offensive linemen down. And again, I think the upside there is fantastic. And this Baltimore team has always wanted to build their front seven. And I got to say, they did a heck of a job in this draft doing so, getting Madubuike at 71. And then we obviously had Queen and Harrison as part of that. So yeah, just loved that pick for the Ravens.
No doubt about it. Let's just keep going down the list here. I'll go Saints pick to Saints pick. This one actually came earlier. It's Zach Bond, kind of a tweener, exactly the definition of a tweener out of Wisconsin. We've been saying for a while that with Zach Bond, it's really going to depend where he goes, what his ceiling can be. He needed a team that'll use him correctly, and Greg Williams and that Saints defense, they're going to use him correctly, and he fills a need at both spots that he plays, in the pass rush, which was lacking a lot, especially during the playoffs for injury reasons and others, and then in the linebacker core, where Sean Payton thinks he can play three or four different roles, which will be very interesting to watch, but it'll be really fun. He's really productive. So I'm excited for that one. I think that's a really good pick there, especially where they got him from. Apparently, they wanted to trade up farther and get him ahead, but he just kept falling, so they didn't really care.
Didn't have to do too much.
Nope.
when it came to that. So
with a roster that good, the guys that are getting drafted in the sixth and seventh round probably aren't going to make the team anyways.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have a lot of space for them. So again, you move up a couple times and get guys like Troutman and Bond, you know, who you know can contribute right now. So yeah, I loved what the Saints did. Again, I don't care that they had three picks. This is a team that's contending for a Super Bowl in the Drew Brees window. So yeah, they did have four picks. That's true.
They really only had three picks.
But
they picked the next Taysom Hill.
Yeah, they picked Tommy Stevens, which was weird.
We'll talk about that eventually.
Yeah, we will. It's just odd to me. Anyway, yeah,
I know so how I they're going to use them.
You get three players that you're going to be able to use a lot, I should say.
Yeah. Right. Well, no, you're still right. It was three picks and a seven.
It was mostly three picks. But anyway, yeah. I got Lucas Niang to Kansas City. Niang Gang? Yeah, I thought this was awesome. I mean, Niang was tackle six for me by a pretty decent margin. So, again, you get a guy that talented. I know the hip issues probably pushed him down slightly on a lot of people's boards. I'm sure that, you know, people had maybe considered him late round one and definitely round two without that. So, again, you're getting a really mobile guy who I think really good ankle flexion, really good balance as a pass protector. So just the ability to now have a third tackle that if Fisher or Schwartz were to go down, I don't think you'd miss much of a beat in that sense. I think he can also be a swing tackle for you at times if you want to go jumbo. And just to have a guy like that, you know, after bringing in a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, you can commit to the run game a little bit more and still be able to threaten deep. And so the Chiefs continue to get better, and it's a lot of fun to see.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with all of that, actually. So no complaints from me. The Chiefs continue to get better and better, much like the Ravens. So it's definitely interesting. A lot of teams got a lot better, as we've said a couple of times now. Yeah. But
really would like to see the Chiefs and Ravens meet in the championship.
I would, too. Right. I really would.
We haven't gotten to see them in a playoff game yet, and I really want to. So.
Nope. It would be really fun if we did. Really my next pick, another Cowboys pick, actually, coming off Neville Gallimore, playing on the interior defensive line for the Cowboys now. In this round, that is just an absolute disruptive steal. He's not necessarily like a huge production in the way of finishing, but his quickness, you know, his hands and that motor that he plays with is going to swallow up blockers and just cause a lot of problems for offensive lines. And I mean, it's pretty nuts. It's going to be very fun for him. I think the best way to summarize him is an NFL starter. And I really, truly believe that. I think this was a great pick for them.
Pass rusher with a high motor.
Yeah.
That dude. So and uber athletic too. It's going to be a lot of fun to see how they deploy him and in an interesting defense where you can kind of align him in different spots. So let's see. What do I got next? Oh, yes. Arizona. Didn't have a second round pick. But I tell you what, pretty decent player fell to him in the third round, Josh Jones. So again, a good tackle there. A guy who can put right on that right side to start opposite Humphreys. And, you know, I feel like he felt a pretty decent deal. I was, you know, thinking a lot of teams late in round two that could have had this guy in their room and felt pretty good about it. And you get him to fall to Arizona, a team that needs that help to protect Kyler Murray. Again, I think strong player, pretty good athlete, and he's a dang finisher when he goes up against guys. It was cool to see him at the Senior Bowl. Really go up against that top competition. So, yeah, I think Arizona, despite, you know, I mean, what the heck? You got Isaiah Simmons round one. Round two is basically DeAndre Hopkins. Then you finish with Josh Jones. So, again, yeah, love the Jones pick to Arizona. Thought it was great value.
Yeah, no doubt. My last pick's a guy actually a little bit further towards the top or round three, Julian Okwara, playing on the edge. So we're continuing with the defensive line. I think last night I compared him to Barkevious Mingo because I know I've seen that a couple of times. You know, he's one of those, another guy that's not going to be a fit for every team, but situationally, the Lions could use some help on pass rush, and I think he's going to be able to slot in there and play pretty early on. He's bursty, he's bendy, and he's big. He doesn't have a lot of functional strength, but he's like 6'4", probably 250, 245.
I think it's 250. I think it's pretty close.
Pretty close to that, but he's got a lot of burst. He's got a lot of bend. And I think developmentally he could be a lot of fun, but on the Lions team, I think he'll play a lot.
Yeah, I think it's a big contrast from a guy like Trey Flowers, who's very much an edge setter type of deal. Again, he can produce as a pass rusher, but I think you're getting a guy who's complete foil of him. And like you said, bursty bendy. Those type of players, you know, they produce for you in the NFL. So it's a good one. Lions had some pretty good picks in this draft. Finishing out for me, is Alex Highsmith, the edge rusher from Charlotte, went to the Pittsburgh Steelers at pick 102, I believe. 103? I think 102 sounds right. But again, this is a small school player that I think you should be excited about if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I think he's got, you know, pretty good athlete overall. I think he can bend and turn on the edge, corner to seven, all that good stuff as a speed rusher. I think he can win inside move, and which is really great to see, you know, him not just being a one-trick pony, but I think he's got good hands too. And when you got an athlete like that, you know, in a versatile defensive scheme like Pittsburgh's, where you can move him all over the place, maybe drop into coverage a little bit, use that athleticism. Yeah, I think Alex Highsmith is a home run pick here, and I think people are going to be looking back, honestly, and think, man, this guy fell to the Pittsburgh Steelers at the end of round three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I had a bonus. I do remember. Matt Hurt to the Giants, which finished out a very good day for them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think, like we talked about Thomas going at four, and you have Thomas and Solder, two guys who you know you're going to be starting at tackle, I think, this coming season to protect Daniel Jones. But Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge said, no, we're not stopping at that point. They come and get Matt Hurt in the third. I think that's good value. I think he's a very mobile, good footwork, good balance type of guy. I think his hand placement could be a little bit better. I think he gets a little wide with his hands and doesn't get in tight on the shoulders with his initial strike. But I think a lot of tools there to develop as a tackle. And I think it'd be great to see in 2021 to roll out Thomas and Pert on that offensive line. Again, a guy you want to bet on. And I like that idea of betting on a guy like Pert. So
definitely.
So that's going to do it with a quick little show for you guys.
Quick hitter.
Yeah, some quick hitters from day two. The draft is over. It's been a great ride. 2020 has been a lot of fun. We've got to go to the Senior Bowl. We were down in Indy during the combine. Mm-hmm. And we got to stream for you guys, which was a lot of fun. So, yeah, keep looking. We're going to do team grades. So the show is not yet done. We have not closed the book on 2020 just yet, but soon. So we're going to be on to 2021 real soon. But yeah, look out for those grades. We're going to have a lot of fun with those, going through picks. Probably going to go divisionally with those. So be on the lookout. Make sure you're following NFL Mocks at NFL Mocks. Follow Nate at NateJW Sports. We got a fun little project coming to you guys soon that we're going to announce, I'm sure, in the coming days. You can follow me at Jake NFL Drafts. Yeah. Like Nate said, we got some good stuff coming. So it's going to be exciting. We'll catch you guys in the next one. Farewell.
Bye.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.